And that was spoken by our Lord himself here in John chapter 8, where we find ourselves this evening beginning at verse 32 of John chapter 8. We'll read down through verse 37. Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you." So the truth shall make you free. Let's pray. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Use your word to teach and grow us. Thank you for the word of God that you preserve for us, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that indwells us and guides us in truth. And pray that will happen for each of us tonight as we listen and open our hearts to hear from you. May you be glorified. We love you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus, of course, is speaking the truth. Another word for truth in God's word is the word doctrine. If you go back to John chapter 7, where we looked at a few weeks ago, Jesus explained that if we will obey what we know to be God's word, starting with the gospel and getting saved, the more we obey, the more we will know the truth. Notice John 7:17, "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." So he shall know of the doctrine. That word doctrine is another word for truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." And then he goes on to say, "Thy word is truth." We're holding his truth in our hands tonight in the form of his word. That is the truth. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll see it again, that our goal as God's children is to tell people the truth so that they will acknowledge it as the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25, this is what we're to be doing. "In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." To be saved, you have to acknowledge the truth. You have to acknowledge the truth that Jesus is God. You have to acknowledge the truth that we have a creator, and that he loved us, and that he became a man, and that he died for us, and he rose again. You have to acknowledge the truth that he is the only way. Jesus said himself, right? John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we want the world to acknowledge the truth of the gospel, the truth of the person of Jesus Christ. So after Jesus made this beautiful statement, which is, again, a very well-known statement in the world, look what the Jews said back here in John 8:33. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed." So this was the problem all along, wasn't it? Was they thought because they were Jews, it was all good. And just being a Jew was going to be enough to get them to heaven. Jesus came and said, "Repent." And they're thinking, "Well, who are we to repent? We're Jews. Why would we need to repent? We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage." Jesus says, "The truth shall make you free." They said, "Well, we're already free. We're not in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you shall be made free?" Jesus answered, verse 34, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." They needed to be made free from sin. Now, next week, we're going to look at verse 44, where Jesus made it very clear. Look what he says. "Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the," what? "Truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil's a liar and the father of lies, we're told. And Jesus says to the Jews that are standing there, he's your father, which means you're a bunch of liars. So Jesus wasn't trying to win them over with his sweet words, was he? He was just telling the truth. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll see that the problem is always sin. And that's what he said here. Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. He's saying to these Jews, you are not free. You are in bondage to sin, and you are the servants of sin. The devil's your father. You're on your way to hell, essentially. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's the devil. The children that now worketh, or the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's Satan. And so Jesus says, the devil's your father, and you do need to be made free from sin. So this statement Jesus made here, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He's saying, freedom, true freedom can only come from Jesus Christ. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't just speak truth. Jesus is the truth, isn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life, he said in John 14, 6. So only Jesus can give us true freedom. Freedom, first of all, from sin. Let's look at Romans 6, which is, talks about this more than probably any other chapter, is how Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, through the gospel, frees us from sin. Notice Romans 6, 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So there's that word freed. So why are we free from sin? Because the old man's been crucified. Jesus has freed us. Look on down to verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. So sin no longer has dominion. We're no longer under the bondage of sin. Verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. The day we were born again, we were made free from sin. Verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. So Jesus says, if you shall know the truth of the gospel, the truth of the person of Jesus Christ, you can be made free from the bondage of sin, which happened for all of us the day we were born again. Go to 2 Timothy 2 again. And remember, we looked in verse 24 where we're told, verse 25, we're told to instruct those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, look at verse 26. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive. That's the opposite of being free, isn't it? It's being a captive. Who are taken captive by him at his will. So lost people are captives of the devil. And the gospel frees them from that bondage. Praise God. So we are freed from sin. But we're not only freed from sin, we're freed from the bondage of the law itself. And that's in Romans 8. Let's turn over there. So Jesus, when he frees us through the gospel, he frees us from sin, but he also frees us from the bondage of the law. You know, the Jews, the Christian Jews in the early church, they had a real problem with this. They tried their best to teach the Gentile Christians that it's great that you're born again and you're freed from sin, but you still have to keep the law. And they would constantly be proselyting these Gentile converts saying, you got to keep the law. You have to keep the law. You got to be circumcised. You got to do all these other things in the law. And remember, they had to have a big conference over it in Acts chapter 15. The church did it. They finally said, no, the Gentiles do not have to keep the law. And by the way, neither did the Jews. But they didn't understand that we are even made free from the law. And Romans chapter 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So the new law of what? The Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Talking about the law of the Old Testament. And then look over in Galatians chapter 2. And we'll see this again. That when Jesus makes us free, he has freed us not only from sin, but he's the bondage of sin, but he's freed us from the bondage of the law. Galatians chapter 2, look at verse 4. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That was the main theme of Galatians, was these Judaizers coming in and saying to these Gentile Christians at Galatia, you need to put yourself under the bondage of the law. And Paul says, no, they came to spy out our liberty. And what was their purpose? That they might bring us back into bondage of law, of the law. And then, so he says to the Galatians, look at chapter 5 and verse 1, stand fast. He's saying to these Galatian Christians who these Judaizers have been confusing, he says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us, what? Free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Referring to the law. We're told that the law, if you go to Colossians chapter 2, was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's the Old Testament. The law was nailed to the cross. And Jesus Christ has freed us through his truth from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of the law. Now, of course, those who are under the bondage of sin eventually will suffer the consequences of sin if they don't find Jesus Christ, the truth, which, of course, is to perish in hell. And so not only were we freed from sin, but we were freed from the consequences of that sin. Amen? Which is eternal punishment. So God has freed us through the truth. Now this freedom, we have to be careful. There was a thing that swept through the churches a couple of decades ago. That this thinking that because we're now free from the law, it means we can pretty much do whatever we want. That's not what the Bible says. So let's look at that. Galatians 5 again. We've been given liberty, but that liberty is from the law. We've not been given liberty to sin. We've been given liberty to serve. Amen? Look at Galatians 5 verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Another word for freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So he's clearly stated, you've been given liberty, but not liberty to sin. You've been given liberty to serve. And he says it again over in 1 Peter 2. Let's turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. First Peter 2, 16. The Bible says, as free, that's talking about us, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So God did not give us our liberty as a cloak or as an excuse to sin. He gave us our liberty so that we would have the freedom to serve in righteousness. But because we have known the truth, not only the truth of the gospel, but we know the personification of truth, Jesus Christ, as our personal Savior, we have been made free. Free from sin and free from the bondage of the law. And of course, we've been freed from the consequences of sin and given liberty in Jesus Christ. So that saying that the world quotes all the time, now we understand the context. Ye shall know the truth, the gospel and Jesus, and that truth shall make you free from sin and from the bondage of sin and from the bondage of the law. We have been given complete liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that liberty is eternal. So he finishes there, verse 37, back in our passage, John 8. I know that you're Abraham's seed. So he's saying, I acknowledge that what you're saying is true. You are Jews. In the flesh, you are Jews. I know that you're Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me. Saying, a true Bible-following Jew would never seek to murder someone. You seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. John 8:37. They were Jews, but they did not accept his word, so they could not have true freedom. He's acknowledging that what they said was true earlier on in verse 33 of John 8. We be Abraham's seed. He says, I acknowledge that's true. But my word has no place in you, which means being Abraham's seed does you no good. You're still in bondage. And like I said, he will drive it home next week when he tells them, you're of your father the devil. You're in complete bondage to Satan. And Jesus is saying he's the only one that can offer true freedom from that bondage. That's true, because he is the truth. And his gospel is the only solution to that bondage. Hallelujah, that we found it. We found the truth, and the truth made us free. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful truth.